This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to episode number 43 of the KMP Show. We do not have a sponsor read this week, but I am your host, John Playtech, and with me, as always, is my good friend, Mr. Rich Kraich. Hello, sir.
How's it going? Quickly, before we get into some of our topics, we got some nice heady topics here today, but
yes,
you know, you and I have been talking like some video games lately, and I know you and I have been talking about this off air about NBA 2K and sort of the stuff going on with NBA 2K. What are your thoughts right now? Because I know a lot of our listeners and people that follow the show are also, you know, sports video gamers,
right? Big 2K fans.
Yeah, exactly. I think you and I have some similar complaints about the game that I don't know if you've seen, but it's not just us. It's not like, you know, we kind of live in our own little bubble and we're like, oh, you know, me and my four friends hate this, so everybody does. But like, you go on to Metacritic, you go on to YouTube, you go on to different, like, everybody, like, almost got together and was like, nope, we're done. Like, this is too much.
Okay.
You've microtransactioned the hell out of us, and we are done. Like,
yes.
Metacritic's got, like, it's like 1 out of 10, and that's not scientific, but usually it gets like a 6 out of 10. You know, like, usually you have your one star people that are like, this game blows, I hate this game, but that's usually offset by your big party of people who are like, hey, this game's awesome. I don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. YouTube, like, I know a bunch of the prominent YouTubers are all pissed. Like, all the NBA 2K YouTubers are the same way. It's like, this is, you know, this is not only annoying to me as a gamer, but affecting my business.
Right, because I have to pay so much extra now to try to play this game at a high level. And for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, 2K this year made some interesting decisions, and they've been trending this way for a while. What they've been doing is they've been focusing on your My Player and been using that My Player, that character that you create, as sort of a cure-all for every single game mode. Your My Player serves as, obviously, your My Player in My Career. It's called My Player, but you use your My Player in My Career. And then you also use your My Player in My GM mode. Your My Player becomes a general manager. And your My Player is also used in the various online competitive modes, whether it be 2K Street, the Streetball mode, or the Pro-Am mode, or I think there's even another one now. But what they've really done is they've made it, and I didn't know that a bunch of people had similar complaints, but when I got the game, I realized very quickly that, and I didn't spend the ridiculous amount of money for any of the special edition stuff, but I pre-ordered the game, and I got their little pre-order bonus thing. I input the code, and I got down to the My Player, and I usually like that mode. I like making an NBA player, despite sometimes the narrative being kind of bleh, or basically all being the same, and I think they've all been the same of late, outside of the one where you get drafted number one overall for no reason. No matter how well you do, you get drafted number one overall. But what they've been doing is that you cannot make your player better without spending money. And they got me. They got me. They got $5 of my hard-earned money. I went out and I bought some extra VC because I was trying to play my player, and I realized this sucks.
Right, you're not going to have fun until I throw a little bit more money.
This isn't fun. Yeah. I can't do anything. I can't score. I can't shoot. I can't rebound. I can't dribble. I can't defend.
It's a vicious cycle, too, because to get better, you need to acquire VC. But to acquire VC, you have to be better.
You have to perform well.
So you're stuck in this little thing. Like, well, and it's just, like you said, just frustrating. Like, you go and play this game, and, you know, you're playing a video game to yes, you want a challenge, but you also don't want to miss every single shot that you take at the rim. You don't want to be a 60 overall. I mean, that's an arduous
and that's where you start. That's where you start, is 60 overall, no matter what. Unless you buy a bunch of VC beforehand, even if you do.
Even that if you little, buy the 150, that one, whatever they had, like, you know, I think you bought the $150. Then that came with like 60,000 or whatever, which that you can blow through in like 5 minutes.
Right. Even after that, you're only like an 80 overall. Maybe. And outside of taking the fun out of that, just having to buy VC to make your guy good, the game doesn't reward you playing well. Regardless of what you do in the beginning of the narrative mode, regardless of how well you play, your player is a 60 overall. And that's something I've always hated about these my player modes, whether it's in MLB The Show, whether it's in 2K, whether it's in Madden. And for those of you that may have forgotten, yes, Madden does have a sort of my player RPG style mode outside of the long shot story. There's a separate one wrapped up in franchise mode. But one thing I've always hated is that it rarely matters how well you do. Your guy is going to suck. There's no archetypal narrative where it's like, yeah, I'm really good and I'm coming out of college and I'm going to be drafted number one overall because I'm that good and my ratings reflect that. There's no such thing as that, because then you would already start out the game pretty good and the game can't incentivize you to spend more and more money to try to get yourself better. And there may be an option to getting better, and it's just grinding. You just play every single 82 game season and you set 25 picks, you know, to try to get the A plus, because having an A plus teammate grade rewards you more than scoring 30 points, having a double double or even a triple double. You get more from having an A plus teammate grade than you do from your performance on the court. And it's about the game just incentivizing microtransactions. And so, but apparently people are done with it, because I saw, not these NBA 2K YouTubers, there was a YouTuber, a well-respected gaming journalist YouTuber who specializes more in other types of games, but even he did a review of this, of NBA 2K18 we're on this year, and he said, look, no matter where you start, no matter how good you are, the game only gives you enough VC to go from 60 to 62 to start the game. And outside of that, the only way to get better is to either grind arduously throughout the season or spend money on more VC.
Mm-hmm. And what they've done and created too is, you know, we're talking about a lot of the offline experience, online as well. If you want to go onto the My Park, if you want to go do the pro-ams, all that sort of stuff, there's going to be people on there that have either spent already or are those grinders that you then cannot run with. You can just literally not play the game with them, because they are so far ahead of anywhere you're going to be. Like, if
no
if
matter how many like, high screen and no matter how good your high screen and roll game is,
right,
it's
yeah,
not working out. Rich and I have tried.
We have found this out, and it's the thing. Especially, I mean, in prior years, it hadn't been quite as bad, because you could have started with a little bit higher. But now you go on there, and I try to kind of play around a little bit, and I probably have about 10, maybe 15 hours into the game or whatever, playing exclusively my player, just saying, hey, look, I'm going to grind on this. And see where I can go and see what I can do, because the game itself plays great. It's like the best playing 2K game ever, which is
right,
so frustrating,
yes,
too.
The physics like, engine is great.
Perfect.
The new animations are great.
Yeah,
your player feels realistic. Movement feels more realistic.
But I go on there and, you know, I'm a 61. And there's no way, no matter how good I am, no matter how much I try, no matter how much I do whatever, as a 61, that I'm going to be able to compete with a guy who's a 97. So there's this weird sort of class system that immediately gets created, and you can go one of two ways. If you're me, like, okay, you spent, or you as well, like, you know, you spent 15 or 20 hours on this and you're a 63 to maybe a 70, like maybe you've really grinded up to a 70 or whatever, you're still not going to be able to do anything. So now you're at this point where, okay, if I want to play online and I want to, you know, me and my buddies want to play online, we have two decisions. We can either just not play online is one of the decisions, or we can just buy a bunch of VC and then we can play online. Or we can wait 9 months and grind and grind and grind, and then maybe we'll be good
to go. Play a bunch of team up for 6 months, and then later.
Right. But nobody wants to do that. Like, you see people on there, you're like, oh, cool, this is a fun game mode, and those game modes are really fun, and they seem like they're fun, and it's fun to play through my player, and it's fun to build up stuff with them. But it's just like you're stuck with this decision of, okay, well, what do I do here? I can either give them $50 and get some more VC, or I don't know, then I'm kind of done, and I guess I got to go to the other modes. And play those other modes, and that sucks. And there's little stuff in the My Player 2 that was annoying. And one thing that, like, unfortunately, my wife had to hear me bitch about this for like 30 minutes, and I'm sure she didn't care, but I was trying to put new hair on my guy. You uh-huh. can't preview the hair.
Oh, really?
You can't preview the hair or the beards. So I bought a beard for like 1500 VC or whatever, 15 or 1600 VC, thinking, okay, that's the exact one I wanted. Well, it wasn't at all. It was like the James Harden beard. And I was like, well, that's too ridiculous. I don't want a James Harden ridiculous beard or whatever. So then I had to go to another one, and I had to buy another beard, but you can't preview it. So I didn't know what that one was going to look like before. And then when you're done buying, so I bought beard A, we'll call it James Harden beard, and I went to go buy beard B. This is the nerdiest conversation we've ever had, but stick with it here. then you have beard B, which is like a normal, I don't know, just a normal beard that somebody would have. So you bought beard B. You can no longer go back to beard A. Beard A is gone now. You have bought Beard B, sir. You Beard
and
B
it
is what
is
you
yours.
Have. Yeah. And you can't go to Beard A is no longer yours. So that it's just this little nickel and diming that they've done this year, and people are noticing it. And once you dig deeper into the game, once you do other stuff, and then you know, you and I, we could have a whole nother show about the MyGM, so we won't get into that. But you're really there's nowhere you can really go in this game anymore. Because I'm saying, okay, you can just escape to my park and escape to my player and say, forget it, I'll just do my GM in my league. Well, then my GM hits you over the head with like just a forced, stupid story
right.
that you can't get out of either. So you basically, your only solace is like my league, which has like no features and is just a desolate, dead thing that they just kind of threw on the side of the road and said, like,
yeah.
All right, there you go.
And my GM is also littered with microtransaction trip ups.
Right.
Where players will just get pissed at you. I want more minutes. Well, you suck. I mean, like, in no possible world is a 33-year-old, I had this last year, is a 33-year-old Jonas Valanciunas coming to me saying, I want to be in the starting rotation. That's not happening. Jonas knows what he is. I know what he is. But the game forces you into these situations where if you want to maintain your team chemistry, you have to either have enough VC or buy the VC in order to get the correct pitch to say, hey man, blah blah blah, you suck, you should probably stay on the bench, and then I'll go, okay. But Rich, I want you to know that Ronnie2K has got your back, because on September 19th he tweeted out, haircuts, coloring, and facial hair are now 100 VC. Want to make sure it's realistic going forward. Hashtag NBA2K18.
Oh, thanks.
Got your back. It's still, you still don't get a lot of VC for, you know, playing the video game, and it's still really expensive to make your guy better, but, you know.
I'll throw you a little bone here.
It's now only $100, $100 VC to
and then
to get that
one
done.
Real quick thing, too, before we move on to other things. In the MyGM, too, you know how you were mentioning, because you and I haven't really jumped into the MyGM. I'm just reading other things or watching YouTube videos. So you have, spoiler alert, the four stories, no matter what your team is, they have to move to Seattle. You don't have to move them to Seattle, but your owner, like, threatens that he's going to move to Seattle.
Okay.
So if you're, like, the Golden State Warriors, it's like, we're moving to Seattle. It's like, we just bought a new stadium. Like, why don't we? Or, like, the New York Knicks. It's like, we got a pretty good gig here with the Madison Square Garden thing. Like, I think we should probably just stay in New York. Like, Seattle's good market, but this New York thing's working out pretty well, like money-wise, so maybe, you know, stay right here. But they also, like, your owner forces you to make, like, certain trades. Like, it's like, I want to acquire, like, a top three pick, and then you ended up having to go in some, like, mad dash to get a top three pick and decimate your team. Or like, I remember one people had this one video, this one YouTuber had a thing where, like, his owner just, he made sure that he had to get Murray Spates. And I thought that was you.
Well, that's
and
fine.
I know that you're going to do
that's
it anyway.
Great. Yes, I
yeah,
would
you're
love
good,
that. Because
you're going to get Murray Spates anyway. But, like, right. No matter what, this guy's like, I need Murray Spates. And it's like, do we really, though?
I like
I don't
that
think we
mode.
Do.
I like that mode. Any mode that demands Mo Spates be on your team, I'm okay with. You know what? I don't care. Microtransact
okay
me into the poorhouse, 2K. I don't care. More Mo Spates is the best Mo Spates, and that's the Mo Spates that everybody needs is Mo Spates. Wow. Yeah, I'm dreading that because I want the rosters to come out because and for the first time in like ever, I'm not going to be able to decimate the Bulls to rebuild them because
no, they've already done it for you.
They're already done it for you, so. But I just, you know, I don't want to start the year and be able to play with Zach LaVine. I want to have to go through that and then fire Fred Hoiberg. And,
right.
Oh, that's going to be so sweet when I fire Fred Hoiberg. So I don't have to move the Bulls. I don't have to move the Bulls to Seattle. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think the owner just like threatens that he's going to do it. And then I don't think.
Okay.
Then I think he asks. It's one of those things where he's like, hey, do you think we should do this?
And it's like, no.
But
no, I don't
but like,
think
yeah,
we should.
It's like, nah, we're like the Chicago Bulls now.
But here's the thing is that. 2K last year unveils the expansion team thing in MyGM, and it's a huge hit, as far as I understand it. Everybody I know who plays MyGM created a team, an expansion team, and played with that team. And so they roll it out, and it's this huge hit. And so now you're telling me that feature doesn't exist anymore in MyGM?
I think it still does. I'm not entirely positive. I think it still does, but it's definitely not the focus that it was last year. I believe it is still. No, never mind. You're wrong. I'm looking at. I'm wrong. Sorry. You were right. No,
it's not there anymore.
The option to start an expansion team no longer exists in MyGM mode. Is what it.
Oh man, this game. You know what? I usually love this game. I love this game, but this game might get traded in pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, I like it. I've loved it for years, but
it's they're a publicly traded company. It's like that's all that matters is the money. And if the expansion thing didn't make them enough money, so we're gone. We don't need it. So it's something else.
Oh well, you know they did this with their MLB franchise when they had it. They did the same thing. Well, the similar thing. The microtransactions weren't that big of a deal back in the Xbox 360 days, but they were very clearly a complacent company and just ran their franchise into the ground. And I get the feeling that's what they're doing with 2K. And I don't know. It's upsetting. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe there's some saving graces. It's unfortunate to know that the St. Louis Sound will not be making a return in NBA 2K18.
Yeah, I'm still trying to go through it.
I don't care if it's in my league. I don't care because I'm not playing my league because my league blows and I want to be able to scout and draft and do this crap without all this forced narrative. Who's clamoring for narrative?
I don't know.
Who are these people? I mean, Rich, you read Operation Sports. I peruse it from time to time. I don't remember one person saying, you know, I'd really like there to be some underlying narrative to my moves.
Is there a way that you can make me not be able to skip the cutscenes? Like, can I please see every excruciating bit of dialogue presented to me? Yeah.
You know, I've ceased to feel bad for Ronnie 2K.
Oh, no.
I used to feel kind of bad for the guy. Right? Yo, Ronnie! Dude, I hope your dog dies of the creeping crud, motherfucker. Why so many microtransactions?
Like, oh, man.
Oh, come on, man. No, but screw him. He's the face of this company he chooses to be. All right. Got a lot to get to after 20 minutes on video games, on sports video games. We could talk forever about sports video games. I think that's well established. But there's been a long time since we did a show. Life gets in the way sometimes. I've been busy with work. Rich has been busy doing things, so we haven't been able to convene for a podcast, but we are now, and boy, do we have some things to talk about. The NFL season, or we're just getting ready to wrap up week 4 of the NFL season. The MLB playoffs are set. We're on the eve of MLB playoff baseball.
Yeah, starts tomorrow, baby. Or this morning when most people are tonight.
Yeah, day baseball.
Yeah.
Day baseball.
Oh, God, it is during the day, isn't it?
Yeah. The 2-1 game playoff forced 163. You remember how everybody was so excited about all the scenarios that could happen if there were like 2 or 3-way ties for a wild card spot?
Yeah, there was one that was like possibly a 5-way tie or whatever. It didn't.
None of them happened.
Yeah.
Everybody kind of fell out where they were supposed to be. I'm kind of pissed at the Brewers and Cardinals for kind of laying down towards the end of the season. I mean, you know, I didn't really think much of the Brewers when they were out leading the NL Central. I thought, oh, well, this is nice, but what are the odds this is going to last? It just seems like they didn't go out with a bang. They just kind of with a whimper. They just slowly faded away into obscurity, into nothingness. And then before you know it, the Cubs are leading the NL Central again by 5-6 games.
Into it. Yeah. Right.
And just like, oh, you know, our magic number is at 2. The Cubs tried to help out. Like, they kept their magic number in the low single digits for over the span of a weekend, I want to say. But other than that, they just, they could moonwalk into the NL Central.
You know what? We actually do not. I was surprised. We do not have day baseball. We have Tuesday at 8. Eastern time is the AL wildcard and then game, and then Wednesday at 8 as well.
Oh,
so both of them are prime time.
It's the divisional series that are during the day or evening. Right.
Then like game 1 of the division series starts at like, you know, 3 our time, 4 Eastern, and then the ALDS, so, and like then you start getting into that. But these two are in prime time. Like, let's, you know,
okay, prime. Yeah, that all makes sense because they're all elimination games, and you want your elimination games played at night. All right, so. Tonight, there's going to be elimination baseball. Who's first up? I always forget.
First up is going to be the AL. You got Twins-Yankees, which is actually a really interesting series because those teams have faced each other. I'm trying to find it. Yeah, so the Yankees and Twins, they met in the ALDS in 2003, 2004, 2009, and 2010. And unfortunately for the Twins, the Yankees won every single one of those. And I think they might do that again.
You know, for some reason, I just kind of forget that the Twins have been to the playoffs that often.
like they were a dominant team of the 2000s, but just, yeah, they never got like anywhere. Right. They never got past like a certain point. Like them and Oakland. And what's funny is they knocked out Oakland like a bunch of those years as well. And yeah, they stayed dominant for like the entire decade and just didn't do it and never made a World Series, never really did much, but were always in play. Always in play there.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. What were the years again?
2003.
2003. Okay. Yeah, both, the, and those were all LDS. Those were all the LDS.
And both years they yanked the division away from the White Sox in like the last month. But then 2005, the White Sox got it back. Then they owned it, and then they gave it away again for another few years.
Yeah, since the last World Series win in 1991, they have only gotten as far as the ALCS, which they were nearly swept out of, losing 4-1 in 2002 to the Anaheim Angels.
Yeah, they lost to the Angels. They beat Oakland there. That was the Oakland 20-game win. You know.
The winning streak team. The Moneyball team when Billy Bean was busy that season writing his book.
Writing his memoir, writing his bio.
His autobiography.
And sending it to Joe Morgan to slap every bit of baseball in the face.
How is it the damn Twins have had, in this century, they've had more playoff appearances than the Chicago White Sox?
Yeah, well. Lost the most games in the league last year, too. That's the other thing, too. They went 59-103 last year. Worst record in baseball.
That's number one overall pick in this draft, too, right?
Yeah, that's not bad. That's pretty good. That's a good way to do it. But, it was actually funny. The 91 Twins, they went from last place to the World Series champs. But according to this thing I was looking up a little bit earlier, no team has ever gone from the worst to the champion. So, the Twins were in last place, but not the worst team in the league. This, if they did win the World Series this year, which... it seems highly unlikely, but hey, strange things happen. Sam will play off. It's kind of a crapshoot. Twins win, they would be the first team ever, 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 ever to go from the worst team in the league to the World Series champion. So that'd be kind of cool to see. But except I don't really like the Twins, so I don't really want them to go. So.
On the back of Brian Dozier.
That's what I mean. They're like, yeah, like that would be the most, like, I guess I like Sano, but like the rest of it, it's just like, okay. Like,
Eddie
Rosario. I guess I like Byron Buxton. Yeah.
Byron Buxton,
but he's not good.
Right. And Max Kepler, that's the German guy, right? Again,
right,
not,
correct. Yes, yeah. Yeah.
Not a whole lot there. Kind of pitching
stuff. They're not a good team. They're like, I don't understand how they're in the playoffs.
Irvin Santana has a 1.35 ERA plus despite a 4.46 FIP. That will help. That will definitely help.
Yeah, a little luck, yeah.
Well, Jose Berrios got a little something there, right? He's an interesting watch.
I think he's out, isn't he?
Jose Berrios?
Let me check. He might be back by now. Yeah, let me see. No, he's good. But apparently in a relief role? I don't know. He's going to be in a relief role. I don't know why that is. But, all right.
Well, then I think you may have an interesting take as to why the Twins have only gone as far as the ALCS in this century. It's because you've got one of their best pitchers. Starting pitchers on the season, relief role for the LDS against the team that, the one-game playoff against the team that has just clobbered your ass in the LDS.
Where do you stand in terms of this being the playoffs, like these one-game playoffs being the playoffs? Because I have the same thing with March Madness, too, where they're like, yeah, the beginning of March Madness, and it's like the play-in game, and I'm like, nah, that's really not.
Right, the playing game doesn't really count.
Like, if they make it count, they're like, oh, here's the beginning of March Madness. It's, nah, it's really, it's not.
I'll say this year, and it's probably more true for the NL this year than it is the AL, but still, the Yankees are a damn good baseball team.
Yeah.
Is that the way the league is shaken out this year, there's so much bad in the league that even the wild card teams, again, of the four wildcard teams, obviously the Twins are the worst, but all three of the other wildcard teams that are playing for that berth to the LDS, to their respective LDS, they're really good.
Yeah.
They're fun to watch. So, when it first started, I remember when it started, I was like, okay, yeah, you got lucky with that game 163 where it was a legitimate happenstance thing where you needed a game 163 to decide who would go to the LDS. And then Bud Selig thought, hey, what if we do this every year? This was a lot of fun. And I thought, oh, yeah, that's not fun. You're trying to manufacture excitement. You're trying to manufacture playoff moments that will last through history. However, I think that at least this year, the way the league is shaken out, polarizing wise, I'm fine with it. You know, because there's a more good teams have made it this year and are vying for a chance to continue playing playoff baseball. I just wish there were more games.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. A three-game series would be awesome for this. But there is something to be, like, when initially, you know, I think we were doing 6-4-3 sports at that point. We were of the mindset of, like, oh, this is stupid. And I'm sure, you know, people before us, when the wild card was introduced, were like, oh, my God, you're ruining the game. Like, what are you doing? I think we've gotten a little used to it as well. And I think now we've sort of, as you're saying, we understand that these teams are still good that are coming in here. And these teams that, you know, because for a while there, you were thinking these teams were backing in or they were getting lucky or they were just kind of moving the fences back a little bit to move the fences in a little bit to let them in and do that. But now I think we've accepted that, like, an 87-win Rocky team was still a very good team. And, yeah, they didn't win 100 games like a lot of the other teams, but they were a really good team. They're in it the rest of the year. You know, they're 87-75. It's a pretty good record. Like, they are deserving of wherever they're at. You know, the D-backs are, you know, 93-win team. That's solid. That's really good. I think it helps a little bit, too, that you don't have, like, a 500 team in there. You don't have a team that's barely scrapping the surface. You know, you don't have it. You're 81-81 random team. I mean, close you have is the 85-77 Twins, and they're that's still not horrible there. And then the Yankees at 91-71. So you have a lot of really good teams in there. And I think it's also cool, too, because I think this year more than any other year, and it is statistically proving that out, is that your really good teams, your 100-win teams, I mean, there's three 100-win teams this year, and that's only happened, I think, six times in history before, and last time was like 2003 or something like that. So you have these powerhouses, the Indians, the Astros, and the Dodgers, and almost the Nationals are super close, too. And then you have all these other teams that are in the back, and that's going to be kind of fun, too, to see you know, is there going to be an upset? Is there going to possibly, you know, be the Twins go on a ridiculous run and make it to the LCS, or you know, a lot of popular pick is the D-backs to beat the Rockies.
Yeah, dude, they've handled the Dodgers. They've handled the Dodgers this year,
and that's kind of cool. And I think now we've gotten used to the one game playoff, and we realize that those games are usually pretty fun. And yeah, they kind of lose the spirit of baseball, but you know, if they're really fun games, like, I guess it's a good way to kind of get you juiced up for a little bit. And you understand that the parity is nuts, and maybe the best team isn't always going to play in the World Series, but if it's going to be entertaining, which the last few playoffs have been entertaining, that maybe that's all you really ask for in a lot of ways. I mean, maybe the integrity of the game is lost a little bit. The best teams, you know, the regular season doesn't matter quite as much as it should. But I don't know. It's kind of fun to know that, like, we can sit down here right now and talk about, you know, five teams that have a potential chance to win the World Series, or really any of these teams really have a chance to win. That's, I guess, kind of cool.
Yeah. And here's the thing I want to ask you. Team A and Team B. Team A averages 5.1 runs scored per game and averages 4.7 runs allowed per game. Team B averages 4.5 runs scored per game and averages 4.3 runs allowed per game. Which team do you want to see play a one-game playoff more? Team A or Team B?
Probably Team A.
Team A is the Colorado Rockies. Team B is the Milwaukee Brewers, who just missed out on the second wild card spot in the NL by a game. And by a game, 87-75. Yep, 87-75.
I think they were, because they won their last game of the year, even though it didn't matter. But they got eliminated the second to last game, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
But yeah, it's what's cool though is we're talking about the one game playoff. We're skipping, like, you know, the Cubs, who are defending champions, and like they're just like, hey, we're here too. Like,
hi.
Like, nobody really noticed. They're just kind of like there because everybody knew that they were going to make the playoffs eventually. So no one really ever decided to look at them or wonder, and they're just kind of like there now. And like, there's all these other scenarios, and it's like, yeah. We're the Cubs. You know, we won the World Series last year.
Defending champions. I don't like their chances, though. I don't like...
Nobody does. And really, history doesn't either. Recent history. I mean, I think the last team to repeat, 98... Oh, the 2000 Yankees. They went through the three-peat. That was the last team to repeat back in 2000. We're talking, 17 years ago at that point. And, yeah, no National League team has repeated until since the 1976 Reds.
Oh, wow, so, look at the big brain on you.
Yeah, thankfully, articles that have all this stuff. But, yeah, no, you off the top of my head, I knew that teams hadn't repeated, but I guess I didn't know it was that long, especially in the NL. Like, 1976 is nuts. I mean,
even
the Yankees.
Even if this was just played in a vacuum, I just still don't like how they're shaped up, how they're lining up, matching up, especially going up against the Nationals. Unless Max Scherzer is really hurt, that's one of the storylines that is going to be big going into this. Tweaked his hamstring in the last start of the season.
Dusty Baker, what are you doing?
And this isn't like his ass down.
Right, and this isn't like, oh, you're just playing Monday morning quarterback. Oh, yeah, hindsight's 2020. No, I would not pitch Max Scherzer on the last day of the season. for no reason. That's not hindsight. That's
just, tweaked his hamstring in the fourth inning, and MRI confirmed. Scherzer said that it was just a tweak, quote. I don't know if that's the medical terminology for it. I don't
just
think
a tweak. It's just a tweak. You're good.
Yeah, you just tweaked it. You just tweaked it. Don't worry about it. You're good. See you later. All right, later, broski.
Was he going for any benchmarks? I'm trying to see. Like, I get it if it was like he had 19 wins and he had 16 wins. Like, what are you doing, Dusty?
He shouldn't have been out there.
There's no reason.
I have no idea. And this is what you need to win now. You need to win.
Oh, the clock's ticking. Yeah.
Because if you're going to have any chance, you need the playoff revenue if you're going to have any chance of. I don't know whether the Nationals have had internal talks about like actually trying to pay Bryce Harper, but if you're going to have any chance, you're going to need, one, the playoff revenue, as much playoff revenue as you possibly can get, and two, you're going to need the revenue bump in personal seat licenses. I don't know whether they do PSLs, but you're going to need season ticket bumps that come from winning a World Series or at least competing for a World Series, and you cannot put that in jeopardy by throwing your ace on your 33-year-old ace, by the way.
Right, who's also on time. You know, he's got a time clock, too, that's ticking.
Right.
So, yeah.
And now you're – oh, and by the way, that prize racehorse that you're considering spending $400 million on is just coming back from a severe bone bruise. Didn't look that sharp in his return. It was only a handful of games, but still didn't look that sharp. So you are going to need more pitching, more than ever. You're going to need pitching in the playoffs to succeed. And you're running Max Scherzer out there for a start. Not for champ.
Yeah.
Not like a champ. Just treat this as like a bullpen session. We're going to throw you out there for an inning, maybe two innings, and then you're coming out, and you're gonna hit the showers, and this is going to be a bullpen game. Let Fat Albers throw four innings if he can, and then sit your ass down. We need you like that manager from Rookie of the Year. I'm saving you for the playoffs in the. Winner goes on to the World Series.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Still don't understand.
No, and like the thing too is Scherzer is a guy that like I'm not Dusty Baker, I'm not the manager of the Nationals, but he's a guy that is always regarded as like being an insane competitor. So even the idea that hey, go out there, Chief, and give me two innings, he's probably still going to get full effort in there. So you know what you do? You just don't play him because it's like you know what we need your full effort, Max, in like 4 or 5 days. You know we don't need you right now.
Right, we need you to stomp the Cubs. We need you to. You're probably. You might face them twice. We're hoping you don't. But in the event that you have to face them twice, we need you to go out there and shut them down twice. And him pitching, whether he hurt his elbow, his shoulder, his forearm, his knee, his calf, his quad, or his hamstring, or his groin, whatever hurt on him, it reduces the chances of that happening by some amount. Maybe he'll be fine. But it's an unnecessary, stupid risk. It's a stupid, stupid, stupid risk in considering the totality of everything that the Nationals are in to run Max Scherzer out that day. I have no idea. Ugh. Dusty Baker just pisses me off. He just upsets me. Is there anybody else you like in the end? How do you feel about the Dodgers?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's so weird. Like,
did that run in August?
It does, doesn't it? It kind of has to. Like, even though there is history that tells you that probably doesn't matter, it's still the optics of it. And coming in here, it's hard to be like, yeah, dude, the Dodgers, like, they almost won the most games ever because like they were at a point where they were about to on the pace to set the wins record, the most wins ever, or whatever. And then you're left, though, with the taste of, like, yeah, they lost, like, 16 out of 17. I'm like, kind of just, like, petered off at the end. So even though they're still a very good team, even though they won, 103 games or something like that.
104.
You're still – aren't you just kind of left a little weird about them?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't know. They're a great team, and I enjoy it, but it's, like, that's
highest
scary.
Run
like,
differential of NL playoff hopefuls. Highest run differential of 1.2. They've allowed the lowest amount of runs per game. They've runs allowed per game at 3.6. Again, this is all of NL teams currently in the playoffs. So in the playoffs, good pitching tends to beat good hitting, especially when it gets cold out there when these although I don't know, in Chicago it's actually been kind of nice. So who knows how long this warm weather will last. But when it gets chilly out there, especially, you know, even in L.A., right? In that time of year in the ravine, doesn't it get mighty cold sometimes?
I think so. I get the, they have like a dew or something that always comes up, I think. It's something like that where it's like there's a weird like it's cold in that stadium alone because of some weird – I don't know. But
yeah, the good pitching and defense allowing only 3.6 runs per game. I would have to look at how they've fared this season against good teams. That's always the one that I like to look at. Let me
Yeah, I think one of my things that I look at for the Dodgers, and I guess we should be smarter to know that was just like the baseball gods correcting everything as in like rapid succession. Like, hey, you guys are on a torrid pace. Well, stop. Here we go. Correction. Like, that's right. That happens. Like, yep. Teams are not going to win 130 games. Like, it just doesn't happen. It just happened to happen, you know, in all those 20 games, they lost all their momentum was gone in those 20 games or whatever, and it doesn't mean anything for the playoffs. Right? Like, we saw the Indians. The Indians didn't do shit the first half of the season, and they were, like, the greatest team ever the second half. And that's just, we know that. That's just how baseball's weird like that. There's corrections all the time.
Ooh. Against teams with a winning percentage above 500, the Dodgers as a team have a batting line of 232, 314, 387, that is 17% worse than that OPS is 17% worse than their overall OPS plus as a team, and it is 4% worse than the rest of the league against teams above 500. So they don't tend to do well against teams that are, quote, good. If you want to define good as above 500, and when you're in the playoffs, lo and behold, you face teams that are good. That was one thing that I highlighted last year when the Cubs were struggling first against the Dodgers and then in the World Series against the Indians, was that they don't play good teams well. Obviously, they ended up winning, but it was almost by as close of a margin as you can get. Game 7. You need win or go home. And I think it was because a lot of people underestimated how poorly they played against good teams, or at least how poorly their bats fared against good teams, and good teams obviously tend to have good pitching. So, I don't know. Do you want to make picks? Are we making picks? I don't want to make picks because I was
wrong. I don't really want to make picks either.
But, it's very selfish of me, I know. But I'm wrong a lot, and
yeah, you don't want to don't like bet because of us. Like that's a bad thing. I think what we can do though is we have some odds here, and I'm curious. These have been as of 10-2, so October 2nd. These are the odds to win the World Series. I'm gonna run these down real quick, and you let me know if that's a bet you would make or a bet you would not make.
Okay, question here. I see opening and updated odds. Does opening odds mean opening day odds or when the playoffs were finally set?
I think opening day, because I don't opening, think okay. like.
Yeah, I don't think the D-backs were 101.
Right, because I would have been like, holy shit, here's $10,000.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, please.
Like, that's fine. Like, that,
okay.
You know, hey, shot in the dark, yeah, but no, I think that's the beginning of the year odds, opening day. Yeah, I was a little confused by that, too. So let's say, hypothetically, you have, let's say $1,000. You're playing with $1,000 here.
Okay.
You have a lot. I mean, the KMP check came in. You got $1,000 to play with here. I'm going to ask you then, do you make these bets? So you got the Cleveland Indians at 9-4.
It's only okay.
Great return there, but
no.
I guess you don't have to. I guess, is it more fun if we say that you can only make one of these bets, that you can only bet on one of these teams?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So
okay, let's do that then. Okay,
94 means for every $4 you bet, you get $9 back.
Correct.
Okay. Not plus your $4, you just get $9 back, which means you've effectively a little bit more than doubled your money. So it's a little bit better than even odds.
Right.
To win the World Series.
All
right.
We'll go back to that. We'll list all these, and then you'll come up with your... It's a roundabout way of doing the picks, but you know...
but it's
skin in the game. Right. I got the Dodgers at 5-2. We just mentioned the Dodgers. What about them?
Okay. 5-2. 5-2 is not bad. A little bit better than the Indians. And like I said, the Dodgers are the favored pitching matchup, at least in the NL. I have to look at the Indians. How did they do? Although, of course, that run
they had,
the
best pitching staff ever for some reason. Yeah, like, you look at the names and you're like, no, they didn't. And you're like, oh, they did. Okay, all right.
No
like,
way, they did. No, they definitely
they had,
didn't.
Like literally the best pitching staff ever and struck everybody out every single time.
They're better than the Dodgers. The Indians are better than the Dodgers. Yeah, that's where the
Indians are a dynamo, man. Like you feel like that's just gonna blow up, but I don't know. That they were like five deep in that rotation. It's like legitimately, I think Jeff Sullivan on Fangraphs had done a few articles. I'm like. No, they're like the best rotation ever. Like it's unbelievable what they're doing, especially in this run environment, especially in this home run environment too.
Right. It's
a whole different animal. Like, yeah, there probably was a team in the 20s that you know, gave up less runs, but like the Indians doing what they're doing now is significant.
Yeah, that's not a bad bet to come out of the NL, right? And then if you basically assume it's a wash in the World Series, if they're facing the Indians, you'd probably want to have your money on the longer shot than the favorite. Of course, there is a betting strategy to play in favorites, but I don't know. The Dodgers, that's not bad. What else we got?
We got the Houston Astros at 6-1. Now, remember, they got Justin Verlander, and he's been pretty good.
He's been on
away to the
fire.
Houston's, so.
Where was that, Justin? Do you think that was a case of just the I don't cares anymore?
It might have been, because he's like a totally different man. I mean, he is unhittable. And it's not like he changed leagues. Like, you can use the old, okay, well, he changed leagues. No, same league. Like, he's just, now he's good, and he wasn't good before. So,
same league, fine better for Detroit, division, like, right? Harder division.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's not like he was coming from a shitty division and ended up, you know, yeah, that's it. I don't want to say it was.
And,
you know,
and a pitcher's park
thing,
to
but,
a hitter's park.
Right.
That stupid short porch in left field, which I love when playing MLB The Show, but that's not bad.
6-1
is not bad.
What about the Red Sox at 9-1? We didn't even mention the Red Sox earlier. They're just kind of a team.
Yeah, with Chris Sale, MVP quality, although not necessarily MVP worthy, MVP quality season as a pitcher. I haven't been following them closely. How's David Price's health?
Well, yeah, he's in the bullpen now, but he's been good in the bullpen.
Okay.
So that could be a thing. That could be an Andrew Miller type thing where, you know, he's now that dynamo. They can just bring him in whenever. And it's like, yeah, you're not, you've kind of fallen off as a starter a little bit, but now we can bring you in whenever we want. And that's a good little thing to have if David Price is on, to have him just come in the sixth and shut you down. So that could be interesting. And they got a nice offense too. But yeah, the Red Sox seem kind of low. Like that's not a bet I would make for whatever reason.
No.
I don't know. It just doesn't. No. Yeah. It's just, I don't have any confidence if I had to do that, even at 9-1. What about the Nationals at 10-1? The exact odds they had at opening day, 10-1.
You know, if Dusty Baker wasn't an idiot.
Right. Unfortunately, Dusty is going to be managing that.
Unfortunately, Dusty is going to be the one filling out the lineup cards and making the switches and all that.
It's Dusty, man. I can't do 10-1.
If Max Scherzer did not tweak his hammy, I would say this is probably my favorite right here. This would probably be where I would put my couple $100 or $1,000. But just with that hammy going into the LDS.
It's scary.
It's scary. And, I could deal with Harper not being 100%. I could deal with Harper not performing well, coming off of his DL stint after that serious bone bruise, if Max Scherzer was healthy. But I can't deal with both. I just can't. I can't do it.
Cubs started the year at 3-1. They are now at 10-1.
I don't know who's starting game one. Can you really start John Lester game one of the LDS after how he's finished out the season?
No, I wouldn't.
Do you start
the guy
Hendricks, you just acquired?
Yeah.
You can start Hendricks because got playoff experience, but he's not your number one. And is there something to that where, I'm going to go with the soft tossing finesse artist guy in the number one role for the playoffs? You follow him up with Quintana,
you got
Arrieta,
who's hurt and weird. Arrieta's like, I'm good. It's like, all right, you're good? Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm not hurt. Oh, I'm still kind of hurt. Like, what?
Yeah, and then, Quintana's been arguably one of your best pitchers since being acquired in July. And I think fielding independent pinching and wins above replacement-wise, he has been their best pitcher through that time span. But he's never pitched in the playoffs. And me being a stats guy and the clutch doesn't really exist, or at least we don't know where to find it yet, I'm not equipped to say, well, he's never pitched in the playoffs, and so that doesn't matter. But even though I kind of want to lean to that, there is just something in my reptile brain that tells me that I love Jose Quintana. I hope for the best for him, but I don't want to put my money on him in the playoffs.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right? I'm totally with you. Yeah, no. And he's a guy that we've watched a lot. And yeah, he's a really good pitcher, but I don't know. He doesn't instill that confidence. Like, all right, I guess I was going to use a Clayton Kershaw, but he's a guy who's struggled in situations like this. But, look at certain guys like, you know, in this case, like a Corey Kluber last year, he was a guy that you just could rely on, and, you know, no right. doubt would go out there and do stuff. Even a guy like you mentioned, a John Lester, who despite whatever issues he's had this year, he's a guy that in past years he's been like, whatever, who cares? Give him the ball and he's going to do it for you. And you knew he was going to deliver, and he was going to deliver big, but like, it's tricky with him. And I guess these next teams kind of have all the same issues, but the one team that I'm really curious on your thoughts. So you got the 14-1 Yankees, and they're the exact same as the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are also 14-1.
I like the Diamondbacks more.
And you got Zach Greinke going game one.
Yeah, and if the Diamondbacks can just get to the LCS, wherever they face, what would their path be?
They would have to then go through the, so they have to win the one game playoff against the Rockies, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Then they would face the Dodgers, who, you know, they've just they've okay, done pretty
so
well
they face
against
the Dodgers in the LDS.
Yeah. Right.
Except the only other team that's handled the Dodgers better than the D-backs has been the Nationals. And so it matters. I think it matters their path. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I could see the D-backs getting past the Cubs. If the Cubs somehow beat the Dodgers, get to the LCS, and the D-backs can get past the Dodgers in their LDS series, I would take the D-backs over the Cubs in that series. D-backs get to the World Series. And, you know, then you're just hoping against hope at that point. But their first stop post one-game playoff game would be the Dodgers. They've handled them well. That's not bad. 14-1 is not bad for that money.
What do you think about the I'm not too much on the – I think the Yankees are more of kind of long-term bet. This year, I don't know. There's just something that doesn't quite work for me with the Yankees this year. There's – You could see the potential. You see the pieces. You see it coming together. But it just doesn't feel like this is that year where it comes together.
Yeah, and, you know, how many more – what else are you going to get out of Castro? How much does he have left to give you at, I want to say, 29 now? Is he going to begin to fall off? But then you've got the likes of Clint Frazier, of course, Aaron Judge, and oh, God, who's the guy they got from the Cubs? The name escapes me. The super-duper infielder that's going to be there next year. I forget his name.
Oh, he got hurt. Yeah, what was his blanking on his name now. I know.
You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, who the hell is that? What is his name? Come on.
I know. I hate this when it happens. But I just don't feel it this year.
Gleyber Torres, is that the one?
Yes.
I was thinking of Eloy Jimenez, and I knew it wasn't Eloy Jimenez because
right.
I was like, it's got to be, but it's Eloy Jimenez.
That's the problem with the Cubs. We're both from Chicago, and so we had to learn all these players, but there's been so many damn top tier blue chip prospects that the Cubs have had washed through the system. Addison Russell, Javier Baez, Gleyber Torres, Eloy Jimenez, Kyle Schwarber, and Jorge Soler. And my God, how many power hitting outfielders have the Cubs, like 23-year-old, 24-year-old or younger power hitting outfielders have the Cubs washed through their system? It's absolutely insane. I don't think it comes together for them this year. So I wouldn't like him. I don't think I would like him at any odds.
Yeah, right. I'm with you too on that. Then you got the Rockies and the Twins. The Rockies are 30. Twins are 50. I doubt you're doing either one of those. I don't think those are great investments. Yeah. So all right. So you got your
$1,000. The D-backs. You know what? I like the D-backs or the Nationals.
Yeah, I think the D-backs are a nice like value play there. You know, you get the 14-1 odds, but they're a little bit more, if you're looking to kind of play it a little more safe, that Nationals 10-1 looks pretty solid.
The Nationals 10-1 is like a good, it's long enough on the odds that you're going to get a nice little payday.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the Nationals going into this are, I would say, the second favorite to win the pennant and represent the NL in the World Series. And I don't feel that 10-1 really, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, respects that, I guess you could say.
Sure. Yeah, I got you.
But just that damn Scherzer injury just still bugs the crap out of me. Dusty, what are you doing? You know what? I like me some Bryce Harper still. That's where I'll put my money.
Lock it in. 10-1.
On the Nationals. Yep. Boom.
I'm putting my money on my hypothetical $1,000 on the D-backs. So there we go.
Okay. So you like that pick too then. All right.
I do. Yeah. No, I like that one a lot. Yeah. That one's a solid pick. But that's fun. It's going to look like a real fun playoffs. I'm excited.
And that's the thing. That's the good thing you get when so many teams coming into the playoffs are good. Mm-hmm. Not like that last – God, when was it when the Cardinals, when they won the World Series, when they beat the Tigers –
Yeah, it was 2006. That was prior to the one game. But yeah, they were like 83 and like 80.
But that was like the two worst World Series teams of all time, was it?
Yeah, and the games were hideous too, and they were bad. Yeah. And it was just Joel Zumaya just throwing the ball all over the place. Remember Joel Zumaya?
Yeah.
Yes. Then he hurt himself playing Guitar Hero, apparently. But I don't know if I believe that. All
I remember that story. Yep. Dude, Guitar Hero was an intense game.
It was. And baseball players, like, usually when you see those injuries, you laugh. Like, like remember when Carlos Boozer, like, broke the side of his hand, like carrying luggage up his flight of stairs when it was like definitely just punched somebody or something. But baseball players are so stupid and weird that like I would believe that their injuries are true.
That like, they're just in the clubhouse during a rain delay, like just going hardcore on some Guitar Hero, like trying
right.
to max
or like
out.
Yeah, it was like, oh, he like injured his back hauling lumber up a hill, and it's like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? So don't do that. Just let somebody else do that. He was building a barn and a wrench hit him in the head.
I like, still don't buy the story that Chris Sale broke his foot jumping out of his truck. I still don't buy that. He was kicking the crap out of something.
What was the Kerry Wood one, too? Didn't he slip getting out of the hot tub?
Yes. That I could believe, though.
No, that's one that and then there was the Kyle Farnsworth, like, kicked something, but they didn't say what it was, but it was definitely saving
but it was definitely saving Sosa's stereo, which is the best story. Because Kyle Farnsworth knew that he could never compete with Sammy Sosa. But the one, like, he couldn't, like, he's not better than him at his position. He doesn't make more money than Sammy does. But the one thing he could do is while Sammy Sosa was out on the field, he could go into that clubhouse and take a Louisville Slugger and his foot and his fist to that damn boombox that Sammy would blast in the small-ass Cubs locker room at the pre-renovated Wrigley Field that everybody hated but everybody dealt with because it was Sammy goddamn Sosa, and Kyle Farnsworth was just enough of a turd kicker to just be like, I hate that. And, you know, maybe said some things while doing it that weren't cool.
Right. And then I think there was another great one of the classic ones. And I think John Smoltz, isn't he the one that burnt himself, like, ironing the shirt that he was wearing? I think it's John Smoltz. Let me find out if that's true. Somebody ironed the shirt that they were wearing.
Wait, like, while they were wearing it? Or
right. And then, like, got themselves burned. Like, I know this is a real thing. Let me find out who it was exactly. It's John Smoltz. So yeah,
because that's a runner up for I cut myself with a knife in bed cutting an apple from Derrick Rose.
Right.
But Derrick Rose, you believe because he's just Derrick. But John Smoltz, you're like, John, what are you doing?
Oh, it's only allegedly. They haven't said for sure
that it was that he was ironing the shirt that he.
Oh, this one's good too. Glenn Allen Hill freaks out during a nightmare about spiders and falls through a glass table. Hill has arachnophobia. In his dream, he was, quote, saying, trying to get away from the spiders. He started sleep running away from the spiders and ended up slamming into a wall, falling through a glass table, and tumbling down about 10 flights of stairs.
And then Stone Cold Music's hit. Stone Cold right. Music hit. Yes.
Charlie Huff breaks his pinky while pinky swearing.
I think he was doing something else with that pinky.
Yeah, I don't think he was pinky swearing.
I don't think it was pinky swearing.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, God. Yeah. These are the best. I love their baseball injuries are the greatest, too. Like, this entire list, there's a list here that's like 10 dumb or 11 lamest sports injuries ever, and 10 of the 11 are baseball guys. Because they're just idiots. Like, Ricky Henderson gets frostbite from falling asleep on an ice pack. Kevin
That's
Mitchell
great.
Chips a tooth eating a stale donut.
Dude, stop biting.
Right, at what point are you like...
Don't you realize pretty quick, holy crap, this is stale.
Apparently he took the chocolate donut out of the freezer and put it in the microwave to defrost it. Good plan, but did not leave it in long enough, so when he tried to bite it, he chipped his tooth.
How hard are you biting down on these things? Right. Don't you give it like a test squeeze with
exactly.
the old...
Exactly, you always give it the test squeeze, both for two reasons. Like, A, to see if it's hot enough, if hot is what you're going for, and then, yeah, to make sure it's biteable, especially if it's coming out of the freezer.
Right.
That's, well.
And why was it in the freezer?
Baseball players are idiots, dude. Like, I don't
know. All right. Yeah. Now, who was that guy? I think it was last year he injured his hand while just fiddling with the folding chair in the bullpen. Remember that? Wasn't that a Mets player, Mets pitcher too, on top of it?
Although, to be fair, if it was the Mets, they're probably covering up like some botched Tommy John surgery. Like, no, it was the chair. It was definitely the chair.
And then
like,
he was pitching the next day.
Right. And then Terry Collins said he had to pitch it off. So.
Yeah. And by the way, Mets fans. And by the way, Mets fans, enjoy Robin Ventura.
Yeah, that's a thing. That's, oh boy, Mets fans. They, well, poor Mets fans, man.
Does Robin Ventura have any connection to the New York Mets?
Yeah, he played there for quite a few years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I guess that's his connection. And I think he's beloved there. He's been the 2000 team. I think he had a Grand Slam or something in the World Series or some hit to get them into the World Series or whatever. Yeah, he played there for, I don't know, 2-3 years or whatever. But apparently left an indelible mark on them, and now he must manage.
All right, from 1999 to 2001. No, he's pretty good in 1990.
He didn't want to manage the White Sox. I don't know why he wants to.
Wow, he was pretty damn good in 1999. Holy crap. 301, 379, 529, and OPS plus of 130. That was the second highest. Second highest OPS plus of his career. At 32.
He's a beast.
In 1999. So,
Not a great manager, though. Good player.
No. Less hey, Robin, do you want to manage the White Sox? Yeah. Give you a lot of money. You know. All right, I guess. And then, hey, Robin, do you want an extension? Oh, I can't tell what's worse, that Robin Ventura had to be convinced to sign an extension from the Chicago White Sox, or that the Chicago White Sox persisted in offering Robin Ventura an extension when he said no.
Yeah. You want an extension? No. How about now? How about now? No. How about now?
Ugh.
All right, whatever, I guess. Will you leave me alone if I say yes? Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
But then I'm leaving after that. That's actually what happened. Good Lord. All right.
Just the Mets fans better hope that that the Mets don't sign any players with like a clingy child or something, because then that's over then. If like they sign a player that's like, hey, can I bring my child around the clubhouse? Do
not
run. Don't let him anywhere near that. Don't let him near the clubhouse. Hire a bench coach that can effectively manage the clubhouse, because Robin Ventura doesn't do that. Robin Ventura just, I don't know what Robin Ventura does. Tries not to fall asleep on TV maybe, but he does not manage personalities all that well. All right, so AL quick, who do you like? Who do you like?
Oh, out of the AL?
Is there anybody just that
yeah,
you,
I think
that
the Indians, man. The Indians are they're tough.
Just for the dominance?
Yeah, they're tough to really. I mean, yeah, they're so good.
Hmm.
I like the Indians.
All right. Wrap it up there. You know, the NFL season has been ongoing, and one thing that through all the Trump bull crap, and that's been done to death and talked about to death, but Donald Trump said a bunch of dumb shit, and then NFL players united in protesting, I think against Donald Trump, or was it against the shooting of black men by police? You know, I don't even know anymore what people are protesting at sometimes, whether it's Donald Trump or stuff like this, but a lot has been made about the NFL and ratings decline. Well, to that end, the LA Chargers aren't having a TV ratings problem so much as they are having a getting people into their 27,000 foot stadium problem, because they are already going all Oakland Athletics and tarping off entire sections of seats that have not sold, and they were doing that yesterday, and it was just like the Oakland Coliseum all along the top rim of that 27,000 seat StubHub Stadium, and I don't have any specific numbers in front of me, but I want to say it was almost let me see what they drew yesterday.
Yeah, and I think the more while you're looking it up, the bigger issue for a lot of people is that every game that they're playing, they're being dominated by like the other team's fans. Like yesterday, there was more Philadelphia Eagles fans there. It was louder for the Eagles, and like there was noticeable boos for the Chargers, and it's happened weeks on weeks on weeks now. So it's essentially just become a road game for every Chargers game is essentially a road game, because not enough people in LA like the Chargers, and then people, I guess, decide, hey, let's go to, you know, LA to watch the Eagles because it's cheaper, and hey, we can go to this, you know, stadium for, I'm sure, pretty cheap prices or whatnot. So yeah, it's really caused just a complete issue.
25,374 for the Chargers taking on the Eagles yesterday.
I don't know if you saw the crowd shots.
Well, that's the reported. That's the tickets sold. Yeah. That's oh, and they also have a there's a Skywriter that's antagonizing owner Dean Spanos.
Yeah, and, it's a disaster there.
Yes, this is from the Big Lead. They say the Chargers claim sellouts when 25,000 people, quote, show up. And I don't know. I don't think that. Oh, man, that's just depressing. Yeah, that's depressing. They can't fill the L.A. Coliseum either.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a 97.
If, John, I don't know. Stick with me here. That maybe L.A., despite the fact that the NFL continues to try to make L.A. a thing, that L.A. doesn't really care that much about NFL.
About
football.
About football.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you could try it again.
Are you saying that there have been so many generations of NFL or sports fans growing up in L.A. that did not see an NFL franchise in L.A. that they don't really care about an L.A.?
Yeah, I don't know what it is exactly. I mean, because we know in the 90s, in the late 80s, there was two teams in L.A., and then there was zero. You know, they both moved out again, and
right.
We're seeing it again, you know, 20, 30 years later. It just might be a thing where they're like, hey, look, we like high school football, we like college football, we don't really care for this NFL thing. I don't know what it is exactly, but they keep trying the L.A. thing, and it's becoming even more of a disaster than ever. And this is an all-time bad. I mean, this Chargers thing is an all-time disaster because they have a 70,000-seat stadium on the way, and that you can't go through with that, can you? You can't honestly say, "Well, that'll right the ship," because you can't get you know, 20,000 people to come. I mean, that's you cannot justify. Yeah, well, if we just get the 70,000-seat stadium, it'll be fine. I'm sure that's what they're going to justify saying. But if I'm the community, I go, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah, I don't think the new stadium honeymoon period triples your attendance. It's an attendance boost, right. But I don't think it's 300%. I don't think that's how that works. Who's paying for that stadium? Please don't tell me the people of L.A. Oh, boy. Well, they got the Olympics coming up, don't they?
Yeah, that'll be a great way to...
Great investment. They'll use
more
that.
Public funds. Yeah, they can use all the money they make from tourism.
Will rent all the people showing up, all the businesses.
All the velodromes thrive. That you now have to build. It'll be all good. So. All the new ice arenas that you don't need.
And you know what? Here's the thing is that we were talking about this off air is that this is what the NFL wanted. And that's what's great. Mm-hmm. That's why all the schadenfreude you're seeing with regards to the NFL in L.A., the NFL's, whether it's the ratings problems, whether it's the attendance problems, the reason that people are dancing on the grave of the NFL and Roger Goodell on this one is because they had to approve all of this. And not only that, when nobody shows up in Vegas to see the Raiders, you're also going to have that because people are going to say, why did you approve all of this? You had people showing up in San Diego. You had people showing up, kind of, in St. Louis. And you traded that for nobody showing up to the LA Coliseum and nobody showing up to the StubHub Center.
Yeah, a soccer stadium that could barely fill an NFL.
Yeah. And you had an entire season of the NFL Rams falling publicly on their face attendance-wise, and you still decided to let the Chargers go there. Ugh. Blah. That's good.
And then now you're going to have a team play on Sunday morning in Las Vegas, which does not seem like the greatest.
Holy God, they're still going to play that game?
No. I mean, like, when? Okay. No. I don't think... No, they're probably going to cancel any major events in Las Vegas for a few days. But no, Oakland when the Raiders eventually moved to LA or Las Vegas rather, they're. I mean, if I'm putting a sport in Las Vegas, like hey, I don't think I'd put hockey there, but you know, I'm not going to tell what to do. That's already been done. But
no, dude, the NHL has proven that hockey in the desert works.
Right, exactly. Yeah, just one league has proven Coyotes. That Western and Southern expansion is the way to go. It is certainly the NHL, but.
The Atlanta Thrashers.
Oh God, yeah, I forgot about the Thrashers. Yeah, that's Jesus, Atlanta. Yeah, hey Atlanta, do you like hockey? Not really.
No, we do not.
Nope.
Well, guess what? Here's an NHL franchise.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, but you're gonna have a team now that is gonna be playing in Las Vegas on Sunday mornings, which is I don't know. You know, I'm not a big Vegas guy, but I feel like that's not a time when a lot of people come into the city or
yeah,
stay.
Saturday. Yeah, it also seems like a lot of people aren't up.
That's what I mean. Like, I don't think you're like, all right, honey, it's 9 a.m. Let's get going. And yeah, I don't know. Like, that's going to be the weirdest one. I think that is going to be a very, very weird one. I thought this charge ones would go a little bit easier. This is pretty odd, but I think that Las Vegas one's going to be even crazier because I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know if you're going to get people that live in the area that are going to go. I don't know if you're just going to get, you know, tourists, out-of-towners coming in and doing it. I don't know if you're going to get attendance at all because people are like, fuck that. It's 10 a.m. and on a Sunday. I'm not waking up.
Right. People are leaving Vegas on Sunday.
That's what I mean. That's the flights are coming out, not going in.
Right. That's the drag yourself up, check out, hop on the plane and hope for an hour or two of sleep before you have to go face the world on Monday and try to make back all the money you lost at the craps table. Nobody's going to want to go like, all right, I'm going to get up, hit the buffet, try to shake off this hangover in the pool for about 45 minutes, and then I'm going to go watch an NFL game, and then I'm going to take a late flight home. I don't think that's going to happen. So it's going to be a lot of off-season, like off-week travelers that then, I guess, buy tickets to Sunday during the day to watch an
yeah,
NFL team. Wouldn't rather people just sit by the pool, right? If you get to Vegas. Like, okay, yeah, you go to Vegas, you get an off rate, you know, if you stay Sunday through like Wednesday or whatever, you can save a couple of bucks. But then that Sunday, when you arrive in Vegas on, let's say you get there Sunday morning, you just go to the pool. You're not going to go watch the Raiders play.
Right, especially, you're from New England or whatever, and you're going to, you know, oh, let's go. And then, like, are you really going to be like, you know what? This is kind of nice. Like, it's kind of cold in Boston. Let's just hang by the pool.
Yep.
And our Patriots suck right now, too. We're giving up a ton of points and yards.
That,
I don't
myself,
anyway.
That, my friend, is a thing. And, you know, remember that time we talked about teams going from last in their division to first?
Mm-hmm.
You know where the Carolina Panthers are right now?
First.
Yeah. They're the team.
back and forth.
It's yep.
Pretty great. Yeah, actually, I knew I wanted to look this up here real quick, and then we'll get to our final time. But, yeah, the Patriots, they've allowed 33 points in the last they've allowed 33 points in their last three of their four games. Sorry. That's the first time opponents have reached that mark three times against New England in a season since 2009. So you have to go all the way back to 2009 to find a season where they gave up that many points. And they've already done that.
Wow. Looks like you can only go to that you know, I'm going to find underrated guys in the draft and they're going to fit in my system, Bill Belichick. It looks like you can maybe only do that a couple times. You know, I'll resurrect the likes of Vince Wilfork and do all that, but you can only do it so many times, and you're walking a tightrope, and Tom Brady's 40.
Yeah, he's getting there. But, you know, we say that, and then, like, they'll just fucking win, like, the last
like, right, they'll reel off 10.
Right, and we're like, oh, man.
Like... Hey, but there was serious discussion this year of whether the Patriots would go undefeated, and we had those discussions.
Right, oh, you did. Yeah.
And that is definitely not happening, obviously. So
they're playing the same division as the stalwart Buffalo Bills, the 3-1 Buffalo Bills, baby.
Oh, jeez.
That's a team that for sure is just going to lose like the last seven games, right? That's always the Bills. It's like, oh, Bills. And it's like,
well, yeah, are they the Bills?
I do like that the Browns are like, hey, did you think we suck? We suck worse than you even thought. Like, I do appreciate them being the one team that you can always rely on.
The one
like,
constant in the universe
right? Like,
is the Bills
like, nope,
sucking.
Nope, we're not going to be surprising. We suck. We're awful.
Hey, did you
we're
think
horrible.
Deshaun Kaiser might be better than you thought? No, he's not. He
he's
sucks.
Not good at all. He's terrible.
Deshaun Watson setting the league on fire, and Deshaun Kaiser is just,
just bad.
Bad. And it's Mitchell Trubisky day, goddammit.
It is.
Mitchell Your Trubisky fans. Announced he's going to start next Monday night. The first time that a number one, a round one quarterback selection is making his first start on Monday Night Football since Aaron Rodgers. I'm sure you've heard that a ton of times in your sports content listening, and you're going to hear it one more time from me. So I'm comparing Mitchell Trubisky to Aaron Rodgers.
No, I think you should. No, I mean, there's no reason.
Well, he's going to look like Aaron Rodgers because, my God, did Mike Glennon suck. I didn't think it was that bad. I mean, that bad.
Yeah,
and it was bad, not that bad.
He's $14 million richer, so I guess that's pretty.
That's fine.
Jokes on to everybody else because he's like, thanks, bye.
I've got generational wealth. See ya. Yeah. I'm going to go coach college football or high school football or something, or just going to go start a, you know, he's probably going to start a QB prospect camp or something. And
yeah, or is he one of those guys that hangs around and just like, he's a backup for a lot of teams for many, many years.
You know, like, that's the, yeah. But he never had, because Ryan Fitzpatrick, Matt Flynn, they had those good, even Josh McCown, they had those good upticks. They had however long, whether it was three games, whether it was six, seven, maybe right, even right. half a season, maybe even a little bit longer than that, they had those times where they were performing well. Mike Glennon doesn't have any of that. He's
his
never
rookie
been
year
good.
He was fine, and then like after that, it's just been horrendous since then, and just kind of. Right. And even the fine was just like okay, you know, it wasn't like this is the guy that we can give the clipboard to, and he's just going to dominate, and he's going to, you know, we're going to win a game because of him. He's not that guy. But right. Some NFL coaches love that guy. They love the guy that's like, oh, he'll just run my system and do what I say or whatever. And but you shouldn't, because those guys are bad and they don't win you games. So stop doing that.
But here's the thing. Dan Orlovsky had a job.
That's what I mean. Like, yeah, like one of those season. Dudes. Like Cole Brennan is like still there. He's like, don't put me in, but I'll hold the clipboard. Like, I'm a hell of a scout team quarterback, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, Chase Daniel, still around.
Yeah, not Cole Brennan. Chase Daniel's who I met, not Cole Brennan. I don't think Cole Brennan's still hanging around.
Wait, even Cole Brennan was around for a while.
Was he? Okay, that's good.
Yeah, Cole Brennan was a few places, I want to say. Let's look this up.
Old Hawaii slinger.
Yeah, he was with the Redskins from 08 to 09. He was on the practice squad with the Raiders. Oh, God, the Hartford Colonials, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Man, the NFL has really gone to weird places. I didn't know they went to Hartford, too. That's
And then the Los Angeles Kiss. You can see Los the Angeles downward Kiss. Progression of yeah. leagues. The Oakland Raiders practice squad, then the Hartford Colonials, then the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and then back to the Arena League in the United States. The Los Angeles Kiss. All right. Never mind. Colt Brennan. Bad. Thought he was going to be something. He was not. All right. Did we want to do anything else? We've been running for a while.
I do want to do this last story, though.
All right, what do we got?
This is hilarious. So we got Yamir Yager. Oh, I don't know if you're aware, but Yamir Yager is still in the NHL. Yes, you were a child when Yamir Yager was already a veteran, but he's still there. Yamir Yager signed with the Calgary Flames for a one-year, $1 million contract. This will be Yager's 24th NHL season. He'll play for his ninth team. After 24 years, surprisingly, this will be his first ever Canadian team, believe it or not. So. Of course, longtime Penguin, then moved on to the Rangers, I believe, and kind of bounced around a bunch of different places. This is the part of the story that just amazes me and is the craziest thing and the best thing ever about Yamir Yager. I believe he's like 45 and still mm-hmm. like kind of good. It's like not he's not horrible. It's not
no,
like
he's not bad. No. He's not like a suck on the ice.
It's not like that guy that you just bring out there to be like, Yamir Yager, his fourth decade in the NHL. All right, get off the ice. Like, you might die. Like, get out of here. Like,
it wasn't like Brian Campbell last year with the... with the Blackhawks. That was definitely, he was just
he's
like, oh,
old.
God,
ha-ha. It's like,
remember that time? Yes. Remember when we won the cup with him when he was good? Here he is again.
But Matthew Tkachuk, I believe, is because I knew his father. So Matthew Tkachuk is a 19-year-old forward with the Flames, and he will have the chance to play with Yager this upcoming season. Now, Yager has a connection to the Tkachuk family because Keith Tkachuk, Matthew's father, was drafted the same year as Yager. The pair were both drafted in the first round of the 1990 NHL draft. By the way, you and I were three for that.
Oh, wow.
Just 14 spots apart from one another. Yager was drafted as the fifth overall pick by the Pittsburgh Penguins, while Tkachuk was the 19th overall pick by the Winnipeg Jets. Of course, the Jets went away and then came back in the time that
Yamir Yager.
He's outlived multiple franchises. But it's now Yamir Yager will play with Matthew Tkachuk, the 19-year-old son of... Keith Tkachuk, who he was drafted 14 spots away from in the 1990 NHL draft.
That's incredible.
I love you.
That's incredible. Is there another sport like hockey? Although we're talking about Tom Brady, who's still productive into his age 40 season, and Ichiro Suzuki recently said that he wants to play until he's, what did he say, until he's 45?
Right, yeah.
He said, I want to keep playing. But it seems like hockey has a lot more of those guys that hang on for a long time.
Which is nuts, because, like, don't their bodies
I don't know. Right, Chris Pronger was 37, I want to say.
Oh,
I think
he was.
When they were playing the Blackhawks for their first cup in 2010, Chris Pronger was 36, 37. And then retired shortly thereafter, and then was still kind of getting paid by the Flyers there, which was another thing that the NHL has to combat, that kind of stuff. Because now I believe he's some kind of consultant with the league, but he's still pulling down checks from the Philadelphia Flyers. Just because all that stupid deferred money crap they do. But I'm trying to think elsewhere in the NHL.
Yeah, like historically, I mean, you got like I know like a Chris Chelios was around forever, Mark Messier or whatever was around forever. I think Gordie Howe played from like the mid 40s until like the 1980 or something. Yeah, right. I was right. So he started in 1946, and his last season was in 1980. That's incredible. Oh my god, he played 1,767 games, most of them with. Probably all of them without a helmet. Yeah, Mark Messier played 1,756 games.
Right.
I started in 1979 and came to an end in 2004. Why is that, though? Aren't you sore? I feel like I'd be sore.
Look at Marian Hossa.
It's a tough game. Like, yeah.
Outside of that weird virus he has that eats away at his skin and he's stopped responding to antibiotics and that scariest frickin' hell that he can't wear because of his sweaty equipment or all that skin condition he has now. But Marian Hossa has lasted this long and been productive.
Yeah, the production thing is the weirdest thing. Like Chris Chelios, 1983 to 2009 for him.
I mean, like Sidney Crosby, if his brain doesn't turn to mush, he's going to be around until he's 38, 39. Well,
that's what I mean. How are all these guys' brains up? Like, how do they know what to do even? Like, that's the thing that's most remarkable. And I think what is most remarkable is that teams still sign these guys and they still are valuable. Like you mentioned, like Ichiro. Ichiro can want to play until he's 45, but is anybody going to want Ichiro next year? Like it's already really
no. He's at the tail end of his.
Yeah. So like you might get a team that's just like, yeah, I guess. But like you really have to justify. Does this guy really need to be on our team? Like probably not. I mean, he's not good anymore. Where like Yami Yager, like, yeah, dude. Yeah. Solid. He played 82 games last year. He played every game.
And the sad thing is that I don't know enough. I don't watch enough hockey to know how he does it.
Right, like, right.
Is he smart about avoiding hits? But the times I've seen him, he's been physical enough.
Yeah, he's got to be. You got to be fast. You got to be able to get from one end to the other.
Fast for a 45-year-old dude. You do like because he looks. He's still got the long hair. But there's so much gray in it now. And the beard with the gray in it, like he looks like a hobo. But you watch him skate and you think, man, that's a fast looking hobo, isn't it? Oh, wait, that's Jaromir Jagr. Oh, okay. Well, there we go. Didn't Mario Lemieux play for a long ass time? Didn't he?
Yeah, let me see old Mario. Let's go see what old Super Mario's run was. I feel like, yeah, probably a long time. Maybe not. He started in 84, and it looks like.
Oh, 506. Okay. So 20 years.
Yeah. Okay.
That's still.
Like we're like nonchalanting that because it's like, Gordie Howe played from the 40s to the 80s.
How many 20-year
like,
basketball careers are there?
Yeah, exactly. Vince Carter is defying logic by being 40 and playing in the NBA. You know, Zach Randolph is going to be defying it too. So it's commonplace in some ways in hockey, which is just nuts. It's crazy.
These guys just all taking amphetamines? Like, what is it that allows them to play an 82-game season, by the way, in a physical game that's football-like in its contact, but basketball-like also in its aerobic?
Yeah.
You need to be that aerobic to play the game.
You should be really sore after playing hockey. Like, it looks super painful. It's like the physicality of football with the travel and the schedule of the NBA.
Right.
It's good, and the travel's worse. Like you're going to you could be Winnipeg to Dallas. You know what I mean? Like it's not like everywhere in the NBA is pretty well concentrated. Like you're going to go to northern Canada and then also to southern Texas. It's nuts.
Yep. Well, good for you, Jaromir Jagr. Here's to
keep on keeping on. Yeah,
seeing you a few more times, Rich. Can the NBA season just start already? Is it starting late? Like I feel like it's starting way too late.
No, I think NBA just came out too soon for you, and it kind of messed up your psyche.
It messed up my sports
break.
Timing.
Well, and the problem was the summer was so nuts that like you never even really got a break from the NBA summer, and you're just like, I want to see how these things work because it wasn't like a boring summer where you're like, whatever. You're like, I want to see what happens this year because everybody's on new teams, everyone's new, everyone's different. There's seven super teams. Everyone's going for the Warriors. the East is a dumpster fire. Don't worry about the East anymore. But then the East isn't that bad because there's some good teams, but for the most part, dumpster fire, who cares? But yeah, it's awesome. You got OKC going guns a-blazing. You got, you know, the Rockets getting Chris Paul. You got Kyrie Irving going to the Celtics.
And somehow the
dust off himself, and
they swung a trade. I mean, I know Isaiah Thomas might be ready by November, and that's probably a pretty favorable estimation.
Yeah, probably January, it looks like. Realistically, it will be. Yeah.
Oh boy, that's not good. But they got what will probably be the number one overall pick, or could be the number one overall pick. I don't know. Are the Nets going to be that bad again this year?
They'll be a little bit better this year. I don't think they're going to be the worst team in the league.
Is it addition by subtraction just because there's so much talent leaving the East that the Nets might be just a little bit better?
Team, you know, one that's near and dear to our hearts, I think, will be contending for
the worst team in the league.
Year, so. Yeah.
Well, you don't like Nico making $14 million a year?
Yeah. I don't really like the Robin Lopez is our best player thing.
Bobby Portis wants to start. Yeah. All right. Well,
you got like the Hawks who got worse. You got a lot of teams that got worse. So the Brooklyn Nets, by just sheer attrition, might win.
Yeah, Dennis Schroeder might be in some trouble.
Yeah, yeah. So I think Brooklyn might win like 5 or 6 more games just because. And that might kind of.
Rich, I wanted to ask you. I'll ask you before we close out the show. I was reading a story about how the Atlanta Hawks basically all hated Dwight Howard.
Right.
Just because he's just a gigantic douche. However, I read an interesting quote. And I didn't see it expanded on, but it was something to the effect of, listen, you have to work really hard to make Dennis Schroeder the most liked guy in the room.
Right.
And I'm like, wait a minute. Is Dennis Schroeder a gigantic douche too?
I think so. Yeah. I forgot exactly what it was, but I think he is. I don't know if it's like what he does in his personal life, which we found out, you know.
Sometimes. Yeah, not good.
Not great. And I think he's just a douche on the court or something. I forgot what it was exactly, the specific stories with him. But yeah, he's not well liked by many people. But at least he's productive and like tries to win. So I think that's what the quote's kind of like, hey, look, like he's kind of an asshole and we hate him, but he's a good player, so we'll live with it. Where Dwight's, you know, a giant.
Where Dwight will just be like, let's go out there and do it. And then he just doesn't try.
It's like you're going to set that screen like, nah, I'm good.
No. Like you were just screaming at us in the locker room about trying hard.
Right. And that makes a bunch of like fart jokes. Apparently his humor is like legit, like 12-year-old humor.
Oh, boy.
And makes like really terrible jokes. And everybody just kind of like rolls their eyes. I'm like, oh, God. Get out of here. I think he still eats like 8 bags of Skittles a day and stuff. Like I think he's just
right.
Kind of a disaster. So.
Okay. Well,
but he's a Charlotte Hornet now, so someone else's problem this year.
All right. That'll do it for this episode of the KNP Show, episode number 43. Be sure to visit us at kandpshow.com where you can subscribe so you don't miss an episode. You can also find us on iTunes. Search the KNP Show. Leave a rating if you please. And you can follow Rich on Twitter at Voices Wrestling, as well as the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. A lot of great stuff going on in the wrestling world right now, so that'll be a really interesting follow for you. And if you want, you can follow me at John's Voices. I tweet sometimes when I feel like it. For Rich Krejci, I'm John Platak. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you next time. We are out. Bye.